Start reading in chapter number 6 and verse number 1. It's an old familiar story, but God has brought a freshness in my heart with some things. Found in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6. If you have a Scofield, you could find it around page 427. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. What about you? And you know something? I don't take this lightly. I know it's a lot of places you could be today. But I'm glad you're here. You may not be glad you're here, but I'm glad you're here. When I'm done preaching, you sure may be glad you didn't come here. But we got a sign out on the road that says church. And said it's a Baptist church. So I'm going to preach Baptist doctrine to you. I'm going to preach Bible doctrine to you. 2 Kings chapter 6, it ain't so bad. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 1, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, they was in a school. These young prophets, these young preachers had a daddy preacher sin about them. Every preacher needs a preacher. And this one was Elisha. And he said, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee, it's too straight for us. It's too small. I thank God for the preachers in my life that God has so gracefully bestowed upon me men that were not perfect, but men that had some guts about them. Men had some stickability about them and some men that had some spirit about them. Thank God for the Elishas of the day. Elisha is the successor of Elijah. He came after Elijah. Never get them mixed up. There was a great balance there. Remember, Elijah was a man come out of the wilderness, and Elisha is more of a mild manner man. Elijah found him in a field plowing behind the 12th oxen. He knew his place. He was raised in a family environment. And now in this story, Elijah has died. His daddy preacher, and the mantle fell on Elisha. Boy, how many preachers in America today is carrying the mantle of Elijah? And so as he's carrying this mantle through a wilderness, through a dark place, he's met some preacher boys and he's become their pastor. They're in a school and the schoolhouse has got too little for him. They said, in the place we dwell with you is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, to Jordan. Take thence every man a beam and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go thy servants. And he answered, I'll go. So he went with them. When they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. The man of God said, well, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it. Thank you for standing this morning. Now, I've preached from this passage several times. I'll give you a few titles to sort of whet your appetite of days gone by. I think it'd be a pretty good text about flying off the handle. It's pretty easy to fly off the handle on the day that me and you live. Does frustrations ever bother you? Does people ever bother you? It's easy to fly off the handle, and then it's easy to lose your cutting edge. Very easy to be doing something for God and your axe head get dull. And then it's so easy to not stay sharp for God. How we need to stay sharp for the Lord Jesus. If nothing else, you ought to look around you this morning and just think about what God's doing in your family. Think about what He's doing for you in your life. So you ought to thank the Lord that God is as merciful and gracious as He is. But in this text of reading today, I want to preach out of verse number 1 and 2, where it says, "And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee, it's too straight for us." And I want to preach on going to a bigger place. Going to a bigger place. You know, I don't like small places. Small places are not built for big people. You ever tried flying in a coach seat 12 hours to Argentina? You'll find big people don't do good in little places. Oh my, now physically we all realize that when you're in a tight, small place, you bump into people. Now, I don't know, the older I get, but people bothers me. I don't know, I'm just trying to be kind and tell you. Some people bother me. Sometimes I bother myself. And so I know y'all don't have no problem with people and personalities, but I do. And I found out when you're in a small place, you bump into people. And then you find out that it's not real good. I like a large place. I like a place where I can go and enjoy. Why, I wouldn't live in some of these subdivisions in Carrollton, Georgia, if they give me the whole town. I mean, if one house catch a fire, the whole neighborhood going to burn up. If I get on the back porch and lose my indignity and set this preacher down and get to screaming at my wife, I don't want everybody to know about it. Say amen right there. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? I don't want the neighbors to know what I'm doing. I like a large place. Amen. I like to get out with a four-wheeler and a shotgun. I like to enjoy that. Why, if I moved in down at Sunset Hills or if I moved in out at Oak Mountain, they would think surely the Clampets has moved in. I love a large place. And I've noticed here in the reading of the Word of God, there were some people here, Brother Tim, and they got tired of where they was. They got tired of staying in a small place. Now I just wonder, would you like to enlarge your spiritual place this morning? Would you like to go to a large place with Jesus that you've never been? I noticed in the Bible there were some characters that went with Him that everybody else could not go. You remember Peter, James, and John, they went up on the Mount Transfiguration. They got to go places in a large place that nobody else ever went. These prophets, they was tired of dwelling in a small place. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of small worship. I want to go to a bigger place in my worship. And I don't know about you, but in the Word of God, the Bible says this, feed them meat that you may grow thereby. We ought to be a people that's getting into a large place. We ought to not stay where we've been. You ought to be closer to God today than you was last year. You ought to be closer this morning than you was last week. And we are a people that how God has to take us to a larger place that we realize we're in a small place. Oh, they got tired of where they was. I've read about promotional activities, and for years I tried to train and teach salesmen, and I learned all the gimmicks and the gadgets of the day. And one of the greatest things I learned about before you'll do anything else, you got to be tired of what you're doing. You've got the only reason you'll go and trade your car because you're dissatisfied with what you're driving. And so here we find these prophets, these children of God. Now they're young in the Lord, but they're tired of where they are. I wonder this morning, are you tired of where you are? not physically, not at Liberty Baptist Church, not at your job, but I ask you spiritually, are you tired of dwelling in a small place? There's a big place that you can get to, but you've got to have a desire to get to that big place. The reason Baptist churches never do experience God in a bigger way, because they stay in their small place. They stay in a place and they think that God's in a box and God's on a chain and they can't do nothing unless they get everybody together and vote for it. You've got to get tired spiritually of where you are. Are you tired of wondering where you're going to go when you die? Are you tired of wondering if your husband or wife saved and that trumpet blows and we go on to be with the Lord, am I going to be left behind? Are you tired of worrying? And then are you tired of wondering? Are you tired of being so undisciplined that you don't even know if you're going to come to church yourself? Do your children know you're even going to come to the house of God? I mean, Sunday's just become another day of the week. And the Lord said to keep it holy and respect it. It's one of the laws that God wrote down. And God ain't got an eraser. God means what He says. Keep the day holy. Recognize my day, and on the Lord's day, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It ain't golf course day. It ain't fishing day. It ain't deer stand day. Bless God, it ain't vacation day. It's a day to serve the house of the Lord. Amen. And so you'll notice that in this going to a large place, first of all, there was an examination. An examination. There was dissatisfaction. It had got too small. Boy, I can remember sitting in some of those churches I was sitting in, Brother Gerald, how I was not challenged anymore. Man, I tell you, I'm a type feller. Somebody's got to kick something over to keep my attention now. And somebody's got to be giving me something to challenge me. And you notice something? There was a dissatisfaction that happened. There's an examination took place. People got unhappy of where they were spiritually. They was no longer happy in a small place. I was no longer happy voting on everything. I was no longer happy giving $300 a month to missions. I was no longer happy seeing the man of God starve to death. I was no longer happy seeing nobody study the Word of God. I was no longer happy doing it the way everybody else was doing it. And don't you tell me that you can't build a church in preaching. Don't tell me that you can't be blessed by being faithful. I've done gone too far to turn back now. Some of y'all think I got Play-Doh for brains. But honey, I'm telling you, they had dissatisfaction of staying in a small place. Some of you may be happy with one time a week preaching. I'm not. I was in a service this week. We went to church at 9 in the morning, got out at 1 o'clock. 5 preachers of the morning. That'll test you to see if you want to go to church. I was working out in my barn yesterday and I was listening to 89.1. I was listening to the radio and it amazes me how many churches think that they've got to have revival by getting entertainers. So-and-so, the world's noun evangelist is coming. Honey, the best evangelist in America can come, but if you don't apply the message, ain't nothing happening in your small place this morning. You can have the best preacher in America preach 5-9. If you don't come to hear the preaching, ain't nothing going to happen for you in your house. Amen. Amen. I'm tired of staying in a small place. I'm tired of staying in a place where I feel like I'm all by myself and nobody cares. There's somebody that cares this morning. The Lord of glory loves us. I'm glad He loves those sinners today. I'm tired of staying in my small prayer place. 1, 2, 3, pray for me. Hallelujah. I wonder how many hours you watch TV, but how many hours have we prayed? Notice I said how many hours we prayed. Tired of staying in a small place of prayer. And I'm tired of staying in a small place of praising. I don't like this business. If some of y'all forget about who you are and realize what the Lord of glory had done for you, I tell you what you need. You need a good day to embarrass yourself and go home and say, "My Lord God Almighty, what did I do this morning?" You'll go down to the balls game and you'll buy the hot dogs and the peanuts and the popcorn and you'll shatter out and you'll stand in line and you'll sweat in the parking lot. You'll deal with scappers. You'll deal with thugs. You'll sit around an ugly crowd. You'll say, "I can't come to the house of God because somebody's offended me." What happened about that crowd sat by you pouring beer all over you? You just kept shouting, "By the grace of God." You just kept buying your ticket and your little feelings didn't get you out of the ball game. Whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. I feel some preaching coming on. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about I'm tired of staying in a small place. That's a good thought. Somebody say, "Good preaching, preacher." I'm tired of staying where all the rest of this town's at. Hit or miss church. May come, may not. Man of God needs you to do something. Look around, you ain't here. Amen. Say amen. We'll be 2 hours on this sermon. I'm tired of doing what everybody else is doing. It's something bigger. It's something better. Honey, Jesus died for you. And He died that I may have liberty and life and that I may shout glory. I'm tired of staying in a small place. Hallelujah. In my praising God. How is you so thrilled about Jesus as you are these things? Staying in a small place. They said, "Master, we're tired of where we are." Is anybody, am I preaching to anybody this morning? Are you tired of being where you are? Amen. Listen to the man of God. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you always got. That's Pepsi 101, but I turned it into Bible 102. A lot of truth in that. I want to get better, but I'm not willing to sacrifice to get better. I want my youngins to get saved, but I can't get here enough to get them saved. I want my babies saved, but I can't keep them on the sound of the gospel for running after the worldly things and the worldly treasures. I can't get them under Holy Ghost conviction because I can't keep them in the house of God long enough. We are preaching this morning. What you saying, preacher? I'm tired of staying in a small place. Small praise. You know, Jesus just got you out of hell. That's all He done. I mean, it ain't like He just stopped by and changed your tire, honey. He saved you out of hell. Small praise. God, I got tired sitting in a small place. Couldn't do nothing because nobody could get together to do it. That's why Brother Brad and I figured out we're going to do something. It's going to take a Moses. It's going to take a man of God to lead a people across the wilderness. And when they get to them Red Seas, it ain't no time to vote, honey. It's time to get faith and follow up with a man of God and go across for the glory of God and tell you younguns, come on, our Pharaoh's going to get us. small play. I got so tired of Sunday after Sunday, same old thing. Lord goodness, I don't see how some old people go to church. I wouldn't go neither if it wasn't there nothing to go for. But you ain't got no excuse here. You ain't got no excuse because your church is dead. I wouldn't blame people. I wouldn't go to a dead church neither. But you ain't got no excuse. And then I hear this, gas is too high. You can go to Walmart. We must be the most blessed people I've ever seen. Everybody gets vacations. Recession, recession, my foot. We ain't no recession. If it's in recession, this roadkill wouldn't be up and down these roads. They eat these critters when recession was in. Somebody say amen right there. Lord, we're the goingest bunch I've ever seen. When did church become such a job that you got to have a vacation from it? I remember when we were so in tune with God, we wouldn't miss Sunday morning for nothing. We'd leave Sunday evening and go. Or we'd leave Monday. What's wrong with vacation Monday through Saturday? Lord, time they spend 6 days with you, they're ready to come home anyway. Now, I tell some of y'all ain't liking that. I tell you what, 4th of July around here, it was unbelievable. I wonder if God went on vacation. Now listen, I know everybody needs time away. I'm not stupid. Not much as you think I am. Some of you think Play-Doh's in my brain. But you know what I've noticed? This is what I've noticed. Y'all come by and look at it on the way home. You want to? I put a birdhouse out in front of Miss Renee's flower bed. It's the prettiest thing you ever. It's nice, buddy. I had it squared up. I thought it looked good. And I noticed Miss Flo about 3 months ago, it started doing this. And then it started doing this. And then it started doing this. And now when I backed out of the yard yesterday, Brother Jerry, I said, I better stop and fix that. It's fixing to fall. And ain't it something how we get to leaning? And we think little things don't matter. Let me tell you what eats the church up. It's little things. It ain't no big gross sin going on. It's little pet peeves that we think don't matter no more. But it still matters. I got two or three with me. I'm talking about preaching. I'm talking about leaving a small play. Boy, I'm talking about when it's so small and you're so tired of where you are spiritually. My goodness, people. Wouldn't it be a blessing to get to a large place in praying that you've never been? Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if you said, my goodness, it's 12:15 and we got to go home. Oh, turn around. Your little feelings done got hurt. You little wimpy things. I'm not coming back to that church. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody offended me. Somebody got my parking spot. That preacher. Why don't you be the preacher of a place to see 20 families knocked out of the pew, see how you feel one Sunday morning. And you see how blessed God's blessed you, but now you won't go taking advantage of His blessing. We just hunt ways to get out of church. I don't understand that. If some of you was as faithful at your job as you are the house of God, you'd be on food stamps. Hey, Brother Brad, you better throw a raft down, son. I'm sinking. It's all right while I'm nodding my little head where you're saying, oh, praise God, you wonderful. You're the best thing since sliced bread. But when I get on your little issue and your little sin, you think the man of God's meddling. If you'd do right, I wouldn't have to meddle. Clap your hands. Stand up and clap your hands this morning. Stand up and show me that you're there this morning. And clap your hands.
Amen. You're right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God, we don't need you no more, so we're going to go find ourselves. You know your problem? You don't need God no more. That's your problem. You don't need God. Because you're so blessed.
Amen.
And you sitting around. My mom, I'm going to get her Tuesday. She had a saying for me, boy, your britches is too big. I'm going to put some darts in you. You can't do nothing with baggy britches on.
Amen.
This crowd walking around hip-hopping, boop, 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 boop. Got their britches. They need a belt, bless God.
Amen.
Now you listen to me. That ain't no problem with you enjoying your family. And I need some family time. But if you're not careful, you'll start leaning and nothing to matter no more.
Amen.
We all need family time. I need family. I'm going to take a vacation. But I'm not going to miss Sunday morning to do it.
Amen.
And my kids will know this. What my kids say, Daddy, everybody else is doing it. Why won't you do it? Because I'm an example. Hallelujah. Give me a pocketbook. I'm going to preach a while. I'm color coordinated. Daddy, why don't you do it? Everybody else is doing it. Some of y'all do right. It wouldn't be as hard for me to be daddy nor a preacher. We preaching this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Let me ask y'all something. Y'all want a politician or a preacher?
Preacher.
The man we got in the White House is an infidel. He's a baby killer, a sodomite lover.
Amen.
But we say it's all right.
Yeah.
God ain't changed though, Brother Jason. God ain't changed. I told man, I did. I seen a family one morning get up and walk out of this church with two young. Look, and he said, mm-mm. You know why? Because I took a stand on the King James Bible, the right kind of Bible. We don't need another Bible. We need to live the one we got. Now, I wish sometimes, Brother Tim, Brother David, I wish sometimes I could just chill. Don't y'all wish sometimes I'd just chill? Just calm down a little.
You preach, preacher.
I'm a fighter. I've never been one to sit around and watch folk kick dust in my face. And I'm not much for people see how they get blessed with God and they don't appreciate it. Number two. Talking about going to a bigger place. Examination. They had dissatisfaction. They had desire. They wanted improvement. Let me ask you, do you want improvement in your life? Are you happy at where you are? I want to ask you something. If every church member here was just like you, what kind of service would we have? Could we keep the lights on? And you know, this is the issue. The churches I go to, very few places are this place. We got some of the best people in America in this church. But are you tired of staying in a small place? Some of you don't even know what Brother David done this morning. I mean, that was just as foreign to you. What is that big man doing? I tell you what I found out. What may be cheaper, if Brother David and Brother Tim, Brother Donald have some of these fits, maybe we wouldn't have to have a building program. Or a good hot message like this morning. Good hot messages are a lot cheaper than a building program. Some of y'all now, there's so many people sitting here, you can't even bring your visitors and sit down with them. I thank God for it. But Wednesday night, you can ride a John Deere tractor around in here. See, what y'all don't know, I got cameras up when I'm gone preaching. I tell you what, the next time I announce I'm going to revival, somebody slap me. Brother Matt's going to get up and say, our preacher is so-and-so preaching, but y'all don't know nothing about it. Amen. I called in Wednesday night and I said, honey, how was church? She said, oh, it's good. She knows better. It's good. Brother Mike did a great job. One of my buddies called a little bit. I said, how was church? He said, wasn't nobody there. He said, there was 10 pews empty. Look around this morning. There ain't any pews empty. Look around. Now listen, if I'm going to be the preacher, I'm going to do the preaching. And I'm going to love you while I'm preaching to you. But I'm telling you this, are you tired of being in a small place? Our church ain't empty this morning. We got people in the balcony. I wish y'all would wave to them up there. And this is what just kills me, boy. This is what gets me. Hey, Brother Dave, Brother Dave. People looking bad at me this morning. Now, y'all boys better snuggle up real close to your preacher.
Yes, sir.
Brother Troy, you got my back. Lord God, some of y'all. But now let me tell you, I mean when I'm back in the corner. I mean, I may bend down and say, we're going to pray. And when you bend your head down, it's over. Look around. Look how full this church is. What's wrong with Wednesday? You know what y'all gonna? You're gonna raise your young'uns hit or miss, and they're gonna come up, and you're gonna wonder why they won't go to church. Oh boy, son, I'm preaching this morning. Somebody holler, preach. Examination. But then watch this expansion. Verse 2. Expansion. Boy, they needed more room. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we made more room for Jesus? Verse 2. I can tell you what it's going to take to get a bigger place. You're going to have to pray. Verse 2. Let us go, we pray thee, to Jordan. It's going to take praying. And then verse 2, look what it says. Underline it. Let us go. It's going to take people. One man can't build a church. You know, Brother David talking about this morning. Brother David said some good stuff this morning. When this work was in its infant stages in building, yes, it took God and the Holy Ghost. It took people. And you know what keeps the church alive? Holy Ghost and people. Let us. Ain't no big ones, ain't no little ones. Can I say this? Because some of you didn't get it. You can tell a man's character about how he treats the people that he don't need. It ain't no big ones and it ain't no little ones. Let us go build. It takes prayer, it takes people, and it takes principle. Look what he says, take every man a beam. I looked that up. You know what that's a rafter. That's a joist. That's a rafter. Let me tell you something. If you don't do what you're supposed to do in the local church, some things will be missing. Somebody throw a pocketbook or something, you went dead on me. Now you ladies, you scared I'm going to get your pocketbook. You scared I'm going to see what it's in there. It takes praying, it takes people, it takes a principle. It was a united effort, a mutual assistance, a task for every member. Would you turn around and tell somebody, we need you at our church? Turn around and tell, we need you at our church. Now, this next thing I want you to say, you finally come alive. Next thing I want you to say, remind me next time I want to miss. Turn around and tell them. This is what gets me about people, Brother Marlin. Man, I can preach. Brother David, you know what they say? Amen! I say, you dummy. You sitting there saying amen on something you need to deal with. Oh, he ain't talking to me. He talking to my neighbor. He ain't talking to me. Am I doing okay on preaching this morning? Son, I thought I'd just kick a beehive over while I'm doing it. Takes a principle, and then it takes a purpose. It depends on the spirit in which we do. I'll give you a great analogy. There was a young boy, he was sitting in a field. And you know, rakes have fingers on them. There's a boy in the field. He had his rake turned over and everybody else was out there in the field with their rake, right? He had his turn. You ever seen how easy it is to rake with them tooth turned up? But it ain't but one problem with that, fellas. You ain't a gathering no hay doing that.
That's right.
You look sort of shallow. I got to tell this old man. I told Brother Felton, I said, Brother Felton, my power saw won't cut. Won't cut. I hit that thing to a log and it just bounced back in my face. I said, this thing dull as a crow. I said, put it in your truck. Take it to one of them McIntyre boys over there and let them sharpen that chain. He called me back. He said, preacher, who put your chain on? He said, you got your chain on backwards. You ain't going to cut much wood with your chain on backwards. Purpose. It depends on the spirit in which we do. Examination, expansion. But now look at verse 5, and I'll be hurrying. Exemption. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell in the water, and he cried, said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Exemption. And I'm going to tell you this, you don't have to tell others because they can see. You done quit doing what you're doing. He said, it fell off. And then I like this, not only exemption, the work quit, but there's an expression. In verse 5, one was filled in a beam, that said, fell in the water, and Christ said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Whatever God's give you, He's lended it to you. That singing God's blessed you with is just for a little while. The way God's given me eyes and a voice to preach, it's just Lent. He can get it any time. He cried. He said, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." Had this thought over there in the sermon warm-up. Brother Jerry brought a dozer to my house. And man, you wouldn't believe the work I could do with something borrowed. But they come a day, Brother Jerry had to get that dozer back. You know what I got to thinking? I wished I had that back. I'd have done that while it's here.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, I'd have knocked that down. Mm-hmm. And I'd have left. The other day, I got a place behind the house where I plant for deer. And the road's rough. My dad in law said, "Son, while you had that dozer, why didn't you fix that road?"
Yeah, good message.
Borrowing. Now I want to ask you something. I'm done. Has your praying fell off? Has your Bible reading fell off? Has your praising fell off? Brother Tim whispered to me a while ago. He said, "Preacher, I tell you what's on my heart." He said, "What I'd love to do, I'd love to start working with this young choir we got. Have you noticed how God's blessed this church when they come up here and give in this bucket? There's something about them little ones, though. They can't drive." Man called me yesterday. He said, "Preacher Bowman, I've noticed something about y'all's church. You ain't got no teenagers." I said, "No, but I got a bunch of coming up it's going to be." Wouldn't that be a blessing, whatever time Brother Tim tells come, that you'd bring your young'uns and let them get up in the choir and sing? Antioch Baptist Church got one of the best young'un choirs I've ever heard in my life. But you know something? Mom and Daddy's got to get them there. We got one of the best pianists in the South. And some of you ought to be taking enough time to teach these young'uns to bring them to her and let her teach. Because let me tell you, it's just long to her for a while. Miss Sherry's going to be gone one of these days. This old song leader I've been so blessed with. And this old choir boy I've been... We're going to check out of here one of these mornings.
Hallelujah.
Now let me ask you something. You want me just to lay over and kill over and let you do any kind of way, or you want me to preach?
Preach.
You preach to us, preach.
That old birdhouse, I wish some of y'all turned in out there on Garrett Circle and look at it. You know why? I ain't stopped to straighten it. You know why his axe head fell off? He didn't stop to tighten it. Any of you boys know about chopping wood, you'll feel it get loose. And if you don't stop and tighten it, it'll fly off and it'll get in a bad place that you can't reach. And boy, I like what he said. Miss Sherry, if you come. Expression, alas, Master, for his borrowed. Brother Jason just got right with God. He and Miss Mandy's here. God saved both of his young'uns as of late. Does anybody notice that? Have you noticed how excited he is to be at church?
Amen.
I went to trade day the other day. They had an old axe. Started bringing it this morning. Some of you think I'd really got out there then. He burnt me a plaque. I found an axe head. Said it's built before the Civil War. An old man had beat it. Brother Wayne, it's something to see. When I seen it, God spoke to me and said, "You put it out there in that barn you're building to remember you. And you put it on a plaque, and this is what it's to say. As one was felling a beam, It flew off. And he cried and said, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." I got a stairs, go up to a loft, a prayer chamber. Brother Wayne, I put it right there when I go up. And when I go up and I look and I think, "Alas, Master, it was borrowed." Let me tell you something. God can get this preaching any time and it'll be gone. That God's entrusted you with, you better tighten it up this morning. You better stop and you better make some allocations, because you headed to a bad place. You started missing church on any little thing. And I done been in this thing 21 years. I know when it starts leaning, it's fixing to fall. Are you tired of a small place? Brother Dave, what's your number?